Bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the Word of God says, "But we will give ourselves continuously to prayer and the ministry of the Word." We will give ourselves continuously to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And this was, of course, the apostles. And they had decided with the agreement of the rest of the people there that they were not going to wait on tables, which was an interesting thing that the apostles were waiting on tables. They were servants, they had servants' hearts, and they were waiting on tables, and this took up too much of their time, and so they agreed that this was not a good thing for them to do, and they appointed other people and gave out responsibilities in the ministry, in the church. And then they said, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word." Now, there are some who say, "This is my job as a pastor. I am continually in prayer and the ministry of the Word. Therefore, I cannot do things like soul win, because I have to be continually in prayer and the ministry of the Word." I've actually heard that excuse. The ministry of the Word is just that. It is ministering the Word. And part of ministering the Word is evangelizing the lost with the Gospel. A person cannot say that they are in the ministry of the Word if they are not winning the lost. And so the apostles said they will give themselves continually to prayer. Continually to prayer. As a believer, I need to learn to give myself continually to prayer. Without prayer, I don't have much. And I'm not talking about physical possessions. But without prayer, I don't have much. See, there's a thing about prayer and the ministry of the Word. They're connected. You can't separate them. I need prayer, but it is more than just ministry of the Word. You see, ministry of the Word is not exclusively to other people. Ministry of the Word is also to myself. And so I need to learn how to pray in my life. Why? Well, we've already talked about effectual prayer and prayer of faith. We've talked about continuously, ceaselessly praying. But today we're going to briefly talk about another extremely important component of prayer, which is communing with God in prayer. This is why the apostles had to give themselves continuously to pray. Because, number one, everyone needs it. And number two, they had a great responsibility far beyond that of most. They had the responsibility of building the church age, of being delivered the New Testament message, the New Covenant of the Word of God. Now, the New Covenant did not differ from the Old Covenant. The New Covenant explained the Old Covenant. They were delivering the message of grace. And in order to deliver the message of grace, they needed a special provision in their lives, because they had a unique call on their life. They needed a communion with God that only takes place through prayer. When a person prays, people who know deeply how to pray will frequently not say much. Now, I've heard it said that prayer is listening. And while that is a correct statement, I prefer not to think about it quite that way, because considering that prayer is listening can lead me into striving to hear. Prayer is being available. I make myself available to God. Now, it's not availability the same way as I'm available to soul win. I'm available to be used. those are important as well. But this is a different component of availability. I'm available in prayer to God. And so when a person prays, they quiet their heart before God and they are simply available. This is why I like it better than listening. If a person says to themselves, I will pray, I will quiet my heart before God and listen, that can lead me to strive in hearing. Because I'm dictating in a sense that God must now speak. Now, this is not what those people mean, I understand that. And what they mean is the real form of communing with God. I'm just talking about it, this is how it helps me at least to think about it. Prayer is availability. I set aside time in quietness, sometimes in seclusion, and it may not have a long period of time. It may only be a few minutes, but I have a period of time where I am simply available. And if God speaks, He speaks. If He doesn't speak, He doesn't speak. It's like sitting next to someone and you are available. Now, sometimes God will not necessarily say anything. But it is like a relationship that you have that is very close. And let's say you're driving down the road and with a close friend. You don't always say anything. Sometimes you sit there quietly. But you are enjoying each other's presence, each other's company. You are, in a sense, communing with one another without words, just by being in each other's company. Prayer is like that. It's being in the company of God. And then if you choose to speak, you speak. If He chooses to speak, He speaks. But you are simply in His company. You are communing with God. We develop a deep intimacy with God through communing. Or trusting is developed through communing. Because in communing, I learn who He is. In communing, I get a sense of God. Have you ever been with somebody and you have a sense of that person while not speaking? Because there is a communication that takes place that is not verbal, and I'm not necessarily talking body language. But there is a sense we get of other people just by being in their presence. And if we truly want to get to know that person, we need to get to know them in that sense. See, you can have somebody write down their diary, write down all their deep thoughts, but you're still not going to know that person. You can have somebody just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks, but you may not get to know that person. Unless you are actually spending time in their presence. There's something about being in the presence of another person. Just by their presence, I get a sense of that person. Likewise with God. There's something about being in the presence of God through availability in prayer, whereby I get a sense of God and who He is in His presence. When I enter into the presence of God, I'm getting to know progressively His heart. Have you ever considered why, and for example, Psalm 32:7, the Word of God says that God was the psalmist's hiding place. And he said about God, "You will preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. You are my hiding place." How does God become my hiding place? How does God become my refuge? How does God become my fortress? Because I do not enter into a building called God that is fortified with thick concrete walls. How does that happen in my life? It happens through prayer. In prayer, God is my hiding place. In prayer, I go to the secret places of the Most High. In prayer, I have refuge. In prayer, I have shelter. Because He is all those things. But I enter into them in prayer. And so we learn to pray. Sometimes we pray with supplication and intercession, but sometimes when we pray, we are in communion. And we learn to live in communion with God. When a person prays continuously, that's part of what prayers without ceasing means. It has several applications. One of them is continue to pray until you receive your answer. But another one is continuously live in a communion with God. Because it doesn't take anything formal. It simply lives in God consciousness. It is in God consciousness whereby in my heart I am in prayer with God. And I am aware of His presence to the same degree that if somebody was walking next to me and they were there, we were there together, then I would be very aware of that person's presence. Likewise with God and communing with Him. I live in God consciousness to the point where I'm constantly aware at the forefront, not in the back, but at the forefront of my mind of the presence of God. And that is prayer. That is my hiding place. Something happens and I run to God and I tell Him all about it. It's my hiding place. Things are difficult and I run to God. And in prayer, He becomes my shield or my fortress. We enter those things through prayer. A prayerless life for a Christian is a very superficial life. We get depth with God, not just through the Word, but through the Word and prayer. And so we need to commune with Him. I can read a book about George Washington, but I'll never know him. I can read a book about God, but I may never get to know Him. But if I can have a book that tells me all the thoughts of George Washington and then spend time with him also in sufficient measure, then I'll get to know the man. And likewise, if I have a book that tells me all the thoughts of God in the Bible, and then I spend time with Him in sufficient measure also, then I will get to know God. And so we pray. In Luke 5 and verse 16, the Savior withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He spent time alone. Now the Savior only had 3.5 years in His public ministry. But He took some of that time and He would habitually spend it alone. Why? He needed to commune with God. He needed to receive a provision from God. He said in John 5:19, "Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For what things soever He does, these also does the Son likewise." How does He see them? Because He withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And this was the time when He saw God. In our hearts, you could say, see God in prayer. We can almost envision ourselves in the throne room of God. We can identify where things are. I am still convinced, I said it before and I'll say it again, I am convinced that there are people who are prayer warriors who will reach the throne room of God and realize that they have been there many times. It is not a new place to them. It is a place they are very well acquainted with. Because they commune with God there. They commune to the mercy seat. They commune with Him there. They practice what it means to be seated in the heavenlies. Seated in Christ at the right hand of God. And this I experience in prayer. And it does become my experience. Remember, what I meditate on, what I receive in my perception, and the perception can be formed in prayer, that will, through the mirror neurons and the epigenome, become my experience and who I am. And so, I understand that in prayer, I get to know who He is. But also, by getting to know who He is, I become conformed to His image. Prayer is essential. Now, I didn't say a person has to get on their knees at a prayer altar with a Bible in front of it and candles on the sides and speak in Old English. Just in the quietness of our own hearts, we start communing with God. We are available. We are quiet and available. It does amazing things for a person personally, for their mindset, their emotions, their physiology, their thinking, to be quiet before God and available. The enemy does not want this availability. The enemy fears a quiet believer. And this is why today he attacks. How does the enemy attack? I wonder how many believers, how many Christians, if you were to take a poll, how many Christians would say they spend far more time with an iPod or an MP3 player than in prayer, than quiet before God? How many would say they don't like being quiet before God? Some of them would say, my thoughts race when I'm quiet. That's because you're not quiet. Quietness before God sometimes requires some mental discipline. But it is the strategy of the enemy to disquiet the believer. To get the believer to constantly need some form of external stimulation, and feel free to call it religious if you want. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with listening to Christian music. There's nothing wrong with it at all, so long as it is godly Christian music. And it can be very edifying, and it has its place. But it's not a replacement for quietness before God. Yet sometimes, and I think particularly the young, but older people also, have difficulty with quietness. Because the culture has taught them to have a driven spirit. A driven soul. And they can't bear quietness. But the Word of God says that in quietness and confidence is my strength. I won't have strength apart from that quietness. And this is why the enemy attacks quietness, so that the believer will have no strength. And so, that person will often have a difficult time in things that should not be difficult, because they won't quiet themselves before God. In order to quiet myself before God, like everything else with God, it requires some humility. But once a person gets into that habit of being quiet before God, they find it to be a shelter and a hiding place. There's peace there. There's rest there. And so we quiet ourselves before Him. In that time, when I am quiet before Him, the Holy Spirit will often speak to me. Because now I am available. Not because I say to myself, okay, I'm listening, now the Holy Spirit must speak. If a person gets into that mindset, they can sometimes become subjective. And then any thought that goes through becomes defined as God's thought, when it had nothing to do with God's thought. No, I simply stay available, and if there is silence, I'm content in the silence. But by being available and not striving, I'm available and I'm present, if God chooses to speak. And sometimes He will. I didn't say that He'll necessarily speak every time. But when I draw near to Him in prayer, He will draw near to me. And so He may not necessarily be saying anything, but He is present. And I'm living in that presence. If a man lacks wisdom, James 1, 5 and 6 says, let him ask of God. Now, how am I going to get wisdom from God? Well, He needs to speak to me to give me that wisdom. He will speak to me at the times that I draw near to Him in quietness. So I lack wisdom for a situation, and I say, God, I need wisdom. And I quiet my soul. And as I'm quiet before God, He will start to impart wisdom. And He'll give me answers. He'll give me thoughts. And I recognize them as the thoughts that are from God, because those thoughts have a special quality to them that is different than thoughts that are from my own head. Those thoughts bring answers. Those thoughts bring assurance. Those thoughts bring definition. Those thoughts bring confidence. And so I'm quiet before God and I ask Him, Lord, give me wisdom. And He starts to speak. If I'm quiet before Him, I can hear. A person who does not learn how to be quiet and commune with God is a person who will have a difficult time hearing. Because they're never quiet long enough for Him to speak. And if He speaks, other voices will blend in and can drown out His still soft voice. And so it's imperative, if I want to learn how to hear from God, that I learn how to be available to God in quietness. At those times, He will show me things. In Isaiah 48:6, He shows me the hidden things that I did not know. He shows me things to come in John 16:13. He guides me in all truth at those times, because I'm quietly available to Him. It doesn't come without quiet availability. But I learn to be quietly available to Him. And He starts fellowshipping with me. He starts communing with me. Sustenance with God in warfare, in trials, in resistance, comes in large measure with quiet prayer. And I need that, because I live in a world that is controlled by the evil one. And so we learn to live in prayer, communing with God. In Romans 16:25, the revelation of the mysteries comes in this place. The mysteries of God will always be revealed in quietness. The things that are fresh, the things that are unique, not the things that are unique and new inspiration from the Holy Spirit, the counsel of the Word is full. But new illumination from the Word of God to my life, the Matthew 4:4 Rhema Word of God, that comes through quietness before Him. I may be in prayer as I'm reading my Bible or listening to the Word of God. And as I'm quiet before God, He starts to illuminate things to me. It starts to speak to me in a very deep and personal way. The Word of God, suddenly passages start speaking to my life. and He illuminates those truths for the circumstances that I'm in, for my needs. I hear a message and all of a sudden, because I am quiet, portions of that message start speaking to me in a profound way in the depths of my heart, as the deep is calling to the deep. Because I am quietly in prayer before God. See, quiet prayer before God is not a religious thing. Quiet prayer before God really ultimately is a condition of the heart. And I practice that condition of the heart. And then, being led by God, hearing from God, discernment from God, these things are not difficult. I'm quiet before God and He says something and I can hear Him. Sometimes people say, why can't I hear from God? And in some of those cases, the answer is because you're not quiet before Him. You may be expecting, listening, striving to hear, but you're not just quiet and available. Be quiet before God and available. And you will hear. Because He did say, my sheep will know my voice. They'll hear it. And in that, He's suggesting they'll know it. And so we live in quiet prayer before God. In 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaks expressly. This is one of the characteristics of hearing from God. Because the Spirit speaks expressly. There's nothing ambiguous. There's nothing vague or confusing. There's no generalities. It's a very clear-cut voice with a very clear-cut message. You will be a pastor, for example. You will marry such and such, for example. This is coming your way, and He gives you specificity. But that comes through quietness. Now, just because I have the thought, you will marry such and such, by the way, on the internet, does not mean you're going to be married to them. It only works and only happens when God is the one doing the talking, not your fantasies. But when God says it, it's going to be so. When God gives you a call, He fulfills it. How does God call? In quietness. God calls in quietness. When Paul was on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, he was going there to persecute the church. I will guarantee you that in his mind were thoughts of hostility toward believers. Probably mixed in with a good bit of self-righteousness as a good Pharisee. But he was probably planning how he was going to execute his mission. How he was going to hunt down the believers, perhaps as he had done many times before, drag them out of their homes, put them in bonds, cast them in jail, and some of them kill. And then a great blinding light appeared, and Paul lost his sight. Why? Because God needed to get him to be quiet. Be still. And when he became still, he recognized who is God. This is another important component of communing with God. In that quietness, I am still. And I know that He is God. Why? Because He meets me there. He always meets me when I draw near to Him in the quietness of my heart. And when He meets me, I recognize Him. And I know that He is God. He speaks expressly to my heart with clear-cut definitions, clear-cut messages, and a clear, still, and soft voice. I don't hear Him in my head. By the way, God never speaks to your head. He speaks to your heart. It's a depth, it's not a superficiality that is the characteristic of His voice. It's depth. It's not merely a thought that pops in. It is a knowledge and an understanding that appears, that flows in. There's nothing surface or superficial about it. And it's characterized with confidence. When God speaks, He does so because I'm available to hear. Not because I'm striving to do it. But I'm simply available when I'm quiet in prayer before Him. That's what it means to pray and to have communion with God in prayer. I'm quiet before Him and available. And at that time, I can say to Him what I choose. But I'm still quiet in my heart and available. And He can say to me what He chooses. Amen.